Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about some Disney news and we're going to take a look at historical hotel prices. That's coming up today on Traveling with a Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 506, canon, for Traveling with a Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined today by John.
Amazing. Everything you just said is wrong.
Right. Everything. We were talking about Luke pre-show. You had to bring in a Luke line from...
Well, I'm getting kind of Luke Gray in this area, at least.
I got a few... But as I mentioned in the intro, I did a bit of looking back at some of the hotel rates throughout the years at Disney resorts and compared it to 2025 and adjusted inflation.
Oh, you adjusted for inflation? Oof.
Right. Just to see how much above inflation Disney is.
Oh, they've
from the different years.
I would say they've consistently been above inflation for probably a good 25 years.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out a little bit more detail on that because is it a lot? Are some of them more than others? Like mods versus deluxes, you know?
It's like, you mean now? Yes.
Right.
Well, no, the deluxes, I can guarantee you just from looking at it, they're the ones that's going to be... well overinflated.
Spoiler. But, yeah, they are.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I can tell you that for without question.
I think they all are, but I think the values are probably the closest, which not really a shock, right?
Let me put it this way. If you were to compare amenities, size of the room, all that good stuff versus the price that Disney pays for said atmosphere and everything, let's just say compared to other places in the world, even you'd probably come out better at the other places in the world.
Yeah. There's a few places I've seen that hotel prices are insane, even more than Disney, but not many. Well, yeah.
Here's the thing though, what you're getting included in those said prices could be the difference.
Possibly. Yeah.
I'm just saying Disney really oversells the value of the deluxe resort.
I mean, proximity is probably the biggest perk, right?
Proximity, yes. But I mean, like I said, they really oversell the value of it.
Yeah. They do, yeah.
We'll get to that, I'm sure.
As much, I think, even as you used to get. But right. Yeah, we'll talk about that too. All right.
We shall.
There's a little bit of news to cover. Not much, though. It's slow before D23, which, speaking of that, there is some indication that we will get at least an update on Villain's Land. I can't imagine they would go this whole D23 without saying anything about the construction that's clearly going on.
Right.
Even though there's no actual parks panel like we've had the last several D23s, even destination D23s like this one is, the off years. But Sunday morning of August 31st, there's a 45-minute panel on Disney Villains, and it says there, it teases in the description that you'll hear about Disney Villains, and then it says, and how Disney Villains experiences come to life around the world. And then it says, from new projects and attractions, plus enjoy special villains-themed medley to kick off the day. So attractions makes you definitely think they are going to mention Villains Land and give some updates on it. So will we get the name? I don't know, but we'll definitely get something.
I would think.
Yeah, the other stuff, doesn't look like there's any indication that we'll get an update on anything like the Encanto stuff or the Piston Peak. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Yeah. Did what in this? peak.
That one peak. Yeah, I mean, I just think maybe it's possible that they don't have anything really new to reveal concerning that. They're all in construction phases, and I think they've pretty much all revealed what they can for the moment, other than Villain's Land, right? I mean, we already know where all the other things are going. We already know what they are. We basically know what they're going to entail. The only one that has a little bit of mystery to it is the Indiana Jones one, because they just have said it's going to be a new story, basically. They didn't specify what it was going to be. I doubt we're going to get that at this stage, since it's not even, Dinosaur's not even closed yet.
Right.
So I find it hard to believe we're going to get that at this stage. So, yeah.
Indeed. And the Monsters, Inc. 2, we've kind of gotten enough detail on that that we know. So, yeah, I guess we won't get a full update until next year, 2023, a year from now. But until then, we will be able to see updates via BioReconstruct and his flyovers, because I was looking at some of the updated construction updates. Speaking of Monsters, Inc., there's a lot of activity going on there since the Muppets closed. Mm-hmm. They completely demolished that store building. The fountain is completely gone. It's like dirt now in front of it. And the latest photos show the shape of the show building is taking shape now. The shape of it is taking shape. I did say that, but yeah, you can see they're actually building some foundation for this building already. Compared to the other projects, this one seems to be moving the fastest. Have you seen?
I've seen a little bit from the overheads, like you're saying. So yeah, they're not wasting any time. I don't think they can afford to, actually, in order to get it done in time. So that's another thing, too. This is probably one of the first projects post-COVID that you've probably seen what would you consider a normal construction time frame, really, if you think about it.
Well,
so there were so many projects prior to that that there was a number of factors that made it go slower than what their pace was in the years leading into COVID. I feel like this is one of those you're going to see it on pace for what you used to see 2019 and before.
Right.
So,
well, but as a comparison, I mean, how long is, like, Muppets closed in July, right? It was early, or June, July.
It was in June. The last one was in June. The last day was in June.
Yeah. Early June. So just barely 2 months ago, and they've already cleared land. They've started construction on the show building, and compare that to Dino Land for the Encanto attraction, which was almost a year ago, I believe, when Dino Land closed.
Roughly. Yeah, but they kind of started closing some of Dino Land before they really had the plans of what they're going to replace it with. Solid, I think.
Yes, but it shows the permits were filed October 2024.
Yeah.
And
I just think that they're going to have to pool their resources into one area, right? And which one they think takes priority.
I guess, but feels like Hollywood Studios is getting plenty of attendance. Right.
And the suffering. You're right. That's true. I don't know what made them decide to delay it quite so much. I mean, you basically got Dinosaur the rest of this year for reasons unknown. You've had way more opportunities to say goodbye to Dinosaur than you did Muppets, I think.
Well, they have to keep something open, because otherwise there's only four rides. Yeah.
Maybe it was a matter of closing an attraction that maybe attendance to the attraction itself factored in. Because let's be honest, up until the point that they said it was closing, Muppets wasn't exactly, really bringing in the people, right? Dinosaur at least has a wait time occasionally. So
right. More than
it was, 10 minutes, it was minutes. Eating more people, as we like to say, than Muppets was. So maybe that's the deciding factor. Maybe that was the reason why they focused on that area first. So yeah. keep an attraction open.
Well, I feel like even contrasting that to Magic Kingdom, the Rivers of America has been closed for 6 weeks now.
Somewhere right? in that neighborhood.
Something like that. And they've just now basically drained it. I mean, it's still a little bit of water.
Doesn't it take a while to drain, though, for whatever reason?
6 weeks, though?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they had some sort of a plan, some sort of a system in place for the draining. It just seemed like the levels get lower, and then, you know what I mean? It's like they lowered them systematically almost.
A little bit every
just a little bit at a time. Right. I don't know what the reasoning behind that. Maybe they were actually using that water. Like they were reusing. They were recycling. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe they have a way of recycling that water.
Yeah.
They recycled it to Tiana.
I wish I remembered back in the day when it wasn't that long ago. It was during COVID, I think, when they replaced the track for the boat, the Liberty Bell, and they drained it. They drained maybe 2021, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So they replaced that track not that long ago that you can see visible now that the riverboat ran on.
They replaced it just in time to replace it, to take care of it, to demolish it, I guess.
Sadly. But it is sad to see like Tom Sawyer Island just sitting there waiting to be demolished as it's been closed for over a month now.
Yeah.
So. You kind of wish they'd get on with it so we don't have to look
at it anymore.
I haven't
seen. Are the rafts still out there, or did they take those out of the water first?
Yeah, they're gone. I don't know where they moved them to, if they're still backstage.
Can you try and ride the raft across the dry river, whatever it's supposed to be?
That would be sad.
Maneuver it across.
Wonder what happened to them, though. Are they going to end up on an auction somewhere?
Possible. I think Jason's going to put in a bid if he finds them. Yeah.
He has his own raft.
We should do that, actually, if they look for one. We should try and outbid somebody, which I doubt we have the resources for outbidding the people that will bid on that one.
Pull our resources.
We'll have our very own raft.
There's, three or four of them? They had, four at least, right?
Yeah, at least.
Four rafts, maybe.
Well, you can still ride the rafts Disneyland, if you wish.
Yes. Not quite the same as these if you're a Disney World person, but it's still cool.
It's funny. I think you see the Davy Crockett canoes out there. They still use those.
Mm-hmm.
And, you look at the edges of them. It's like, it looks like it's like if you get too far, it could actually sink. But I thought about it. It's like you could stand up if you did fall out in the rivers of America, pretty much. So,
I'm surprised it's still open because it looks like you can easily fall out of that.
You'd be like, I'm drowning. And someone stands up. Oh.
Yeah. It's a little weird to me that that's still a thing, but the keelboats aren't.
Yeah.
I was looking through some, because it's August, so it's Halloween season in full peak.
That's right. It's already going. The Halloween parties are underway at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. I was trying to look through a few things, but, I went to my local Home Depot, and surprisingly, they don't have the Halloween stuff out yet.
So what?
They're dragging their feet. Disney's, where are you? Two parties in, maybe more.
I was beginning to wonder if I shouldn't consider taking some of my stuff out. Or at least looking for a costume or something.
Right.
Something. Yeah.
Any thoughts about it? What have you seen of the 2025 not so scary Halloween party?
I didn't see anything that I haven't seen before out of what I've seen. Is there anything that I'm missing? I mean,
not a ton. I was looking, I saw that Mickey and Minnie are meeting together again. It's been a while since they've been together at the Halloween party, but in their little Halloween outfits.
That's kind of what I mean. The changes have been subtle.
Minor. Yeah, pretty minor.
It's not anything. I mean, the party itself, there's candy galore, there's the Hocus Pocus show, the same parade, the Boo to You parade, that's had very little change to it in how long? I mean, there's certain elements of it that are still the same for the last 30 years or so.
Right.
Close to it. I mean, when did they start the party? I can't remember specifically. I think we did a show on that, but I don't remember the year.
It was like 95 or something. I don't know. Somewhere in there. It was maybe.
Yeah.
That was the first Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah, it was Food and Wine. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't go that far back. You know, back when they didn't put the decorations out until like October 1st.
Rich.
Didn't have but a couple of parties. The earliest I remember it happening was in September, prior to the last, what, like 5 years.
Oh, wow. So, it actually was 95. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween premiered in 1995.
Okay.
It was a one-night event held on October 31st.
So, see, that's progressed to a 30-night event.
Like, exactly.
It just feels that way anyway. I don't know how many nights they have now, but it's been a lot. It's a lot of nights.
Wow. Interesting, yeah. So, there you have it. It has been 30 years.
Does it say what the price was in 1995? Since we're talking about inflation, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious. Let's see. I'm looking at it.
Let's see if we can't find something here.
$16.95 per person.
Oh, is that what you found it? Okay. So there you go. That sounds about right. Because they used to do what they called E-Ride 9. That was about $15 a person when they did E-Ride 9.
So let's do this based on inflation. Let's calculate $16.95.
Well, that was for one night, right? That was Halloween. Yeah. He got in for $17. So you have to base that on the Halloween price this year.
So $17 in 1995 has the same buying power as $35 in 2025.
Okay. And the ticket is, on Halloween night, was?
$199 or no?
Per person. Yeah.
Let me double check that too.
So that's like five times inflation is the price of the Halloween party ticket.
Yeah.
On Halloween night.
Let's see if they would. Okay. So this year it is $229.
Oh, wow. So almost six times inflation.
Yeah. The original price, $16.95 per person. That's insanity. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
and the real reason though is because, I mean, let's be honest, it works. People are paying for it. I'm sure it costs more to put the event on. I find it hard to believe that 1995 was nothing more than Halloween decorations and trick-or-treating. I think, there was probably a little bit more. They probably didn't even have the fireworks established yet. They may have had a special fireworks show, but I don't think they had anything like what they ultimately would have.
Yeah.
Like, I remember a decade later, it was a really big deal. Like 2005, I think, was the first time I remember seeing a bunch of people doing it. I remember seeing the fireworks show from the Poly Beach when you could still see it, folks. There was no bungalows.
Yep.
Right. But I remember one thing about seeing the Boo to You fireworks that particular year was that, usually you have the fireworks, you can see all of them right behind the castle. But during that particular fireworks show, it was one where they actually had near the finale, like it would go off from every land, pretty much. Like there'd be some that went off from the back of every land. You could really see that scope of how of that from the Poly Beach, right? That's about the only place you could tell that they were doing that, really. So,
I remember being in the parks behind the castle, and you could just look in every direction in a circle, and there they were. So,
yeah,
pretty neat.
Or it was also the first ones that I remember anyway, where they actually did something like a design in the fireworks, like when it would make that.
Oh, yeah.
In the speech, it was something, show thy face or whatever, and then that firework would show up to look like a face, like a grin. Yeah. Most of the time you could tell it was a face anyway. Not every time.
Like nowadays, during Happily Ever After, they have the one that looks like the Moana symbol, whatever, during that part.
Yeah,
most of the time it looks right.
Yeah, obviously now it's more advanced. They can do a lot more designs than it was 20 years ago at this point. God.
Right.
Because I think they had something like pumpkins too. I think the color and everything, they tried to make it like a pumpkin during that one.
So speaking of the more pricing and stuff, 2015, so 10 years ago,
Okay.
On Halloween,
October 31st.
Okay.
The price of a ticket for adults was $87. $82 okay. for children. Adjusted for inflation, that's $117.
So we're still well above.
And that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. We're in the neighborhood of 2 times, at right. least from 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is really skyrocketed.
Yep. And somehow people right. are not only able to afford it, but are paying it. That's the thing that gets me.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah, Disney wouldn't be charging it if people weren't willing to pay it. So crazy.
Disney might
have sells out every year.
I wonder what percentage of today's credit card debt is Disney responsible for.
Yeah. And nationwide, how much?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to know.
Yeah. Like, how much are they responsible for people going into debt?
A lot, probably. So some of the merch I was looking through, the Spirit jersey is $84.99. So I don't know why anybody would buy a Spirit jersey to begin with, but let alone spend $85 on one. I've just never been a fan of the Spirit jersey. I don't get it. But to those who love it, enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just something that I would spend money on. It's funny you mentioned jersey. Do you ever watch the SEC Shorts? They're a channel on YouTube. They do these little skits.
Maybe. Oh, I think I have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they had one just this week where they were talking about the NIL. You know, you used to buy jerseys with people's number, but people are switching up and changing teams so much and everything. They were doing this joke about making this jersey that's like customizable, like it just comes with the kit or whatever to change the number and the name on it and everything as you want to, even change the potential sponsorships on them and everything like that. Wow. That's probably coming. Mm, you'd have to see the video, but yeah,
I can see
it's pretty funny.
Mm.
I know that was off topic, but
yeah, well. Back to the merch, though, there's one that I really like for the Halloween party, and it's a kid's shirt, and it's a Stitch, like, passed out from eating candy, laying down. And it says, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. That's cool.
That's fitting. That's kind of neat.
It's only $26.99 for kids. The adult only. Shirts are $35, essentially.
You know, clothing, like, wear like that. It hasn't really gone up that much compared to what it once was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I seem to remember when the shirts were 25. Now they're 35. Yeah.
But I mean, think about it. You could probably, I mean, how long has it been since you could, the t-shirts were like $20, right? I mean, we're not talking very far. I mean, they were $20 like 25 years ago or roundabout, you know? So it's not that far ahead. Not as much as a Halloween party ticket is.
No, definitely not. Yeah, it's definitely not.
Merchandise, I don't think it's as, you know, it doesn't inflate quite as much.
As badly,
yeah. Because they usually find a way to have it made cheaper, for one thing. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, another news story before we get into our main topic here that I thought was interesting is that Disney's sending out a particular question in one of their surveys that makes it look like they're planning to have what's called an ultimate dining plan.
I see.
And so who knows how much that's going to cost, but right now they have the essentially quick service and then a regular dining plan. And they used to have a deluxe one, so it's basically bringing that back.
They're just calling it something else, perhaps.
Right, like Lightning Lane, Fast Pass.
They have a desire to rebrand
right
here lately.
I'm curious what, adjusted for inflation, this will be based on the deluxe dining plan. I'm sure it'll be more than that was, but you would get 2 table service credits per day, 1 okay. quick service, 1 snack, 1 refillable mug.
I see. Whereas so
the main is 1, 1, and 1.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though. Back when they had the deluxe,
you could get 3 table service meals in a day.
It may have replaced all of the brick service with sit down.
Yeah, you had enough credits that you could do all 3 sit downs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'd have to like look back to make sure, but I remember it was like insane how much, like, I would have never gotten it because I can't eat that much.
I will say this, back when they first announced the dining plan, I mean, they could have very easily been losing money the way they priced it. As over time, it became less of a deal, even lesser of a deal, right, until eventually it's just prepaid meals, which is what it is now.
Right.
It's not a deal. It just, and the thing is, I get it. It's convenient for some folks because they don't have to worry about buying any of the meals while they're there unless they use up their credits.
Right.
Which, or I feel like more. Tip.
Yeah. And buy alcohol if you're going to buy alcohol.
Yeah. Right. But as far as that goes, I feel like they still leave. I think most people actually leave credits on the table, truthfully. So Disney wins either way.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yep. I remember the only time I did the dining plan, I still had like a few snacks left when I left. I was like, I just didn't feel like going to try and redeem them just for the sake of redeeming.
I can't remember. This is a slight exaggeration, but I mean, I remember, I think James used it before, and like they had however many credits at the last day, and they got like, I don't know, a year's worth of water or something like that. Yes. Like I said, a slight exaggeration.
Right.
They didn't get a bunch of water before they left with.
Well, when I did that at the, what was that? The after hours when they first started doing the after hours ones, because the water Mickey bars were included. So we just grabbed, I think it was bottled soda and water, but we just grabbed at each station. We just grabbed one on the way out.
Right. So yeah.
Like 5 or 6 waters and Cokes or whatever on the
so
way.
So you
out.
Could bring your bag disguised as a cooler, basically, right, if you wanted to, and go to each station and just stock up. I bet there's people that do that.
Yeah. I don't know why, but why would you spend your time doing that? But anyway.
Well, I mean, it's the people that are trying to make the most out of their, what they've paid for, right?
Right.
Trying to get their money back somehow, trying to beat the man, you know?
Right, trying to get every dollar out of it or whatever.
Right.
And then reselling the waters. I don't know. What are you going to do?
It's like eating on a cruise line, I guess. I left here being 600 pounds, but I made sure I made you guys pay for it.
This is where I win my money back.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so I can't move on without talking about the botched rollout of the Beak in the Barrel reservations.
Ish.
Supposed to be earlier this week, and that basically crashed the Disney reservation system. And so they delayed it to a future date, but it's opening in, you know, just over a week from now. So whoever will be lucky enough to grab one, we'll get to see it when it opens. But the doorway is already revealed. Like, you can see they've removed a lot of the construction walls, and they've moved those, the portable planters are now in front. So it looks pretty, like, it blends in very well right now. The outside does.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty unassuming, right, from what you can see, but I'm looking forward to this. You see the parrot out front. Hopefully, by the time I go back, I'll be able to get a reservation easily.
Hopefully, but yeah.
It's going to be booked a solid 4 years, I'm sure, because it's Magic's first lounge. So
I don't know about booked solid for years. I think that's a slight exaggeration. Actually, I think it's a pretty big exaggeration. I think you're overselling this, just like you thought the skull cup or whatever it was going to be.
Okay. Yes, I did think, like, that was
completely overpriced. That.
Yes. Well, I put on my Chapek hat.
Yeah, and you were thinking along the lines of the Halloween party.
Right. Well, apparently, based on inflation, the drink prices should be like $70 a drink. But
I think I shared that on our little chat here. How they do the putting on the clown makeup meme. So when you wake up at 5:45 a.m. on August 14th to book the Beak in the Barrel.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like each line said that.
Yep.
Anyway,
and speaking of lounges, the Birdcage Lounge Bar is the Grand Floridian lobby is coming along. So they replaced an actual birdcage with a bar that looks like a birdcage.
Ah.
Disney's doubling down on the birdcage. I mean, on the birdcage. On the bars. On the bars and lounges.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a moneymaker.
Yep.
So.
All right. So let's rewind the clock here as we go back in time to take a look at the hotel rates as we have been kind of teasing back in the day.
Back in the day, 1971.
71, 72-ish time frame.
So, back in time in 1972.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. So back in them old days, which I remember your mom saying this, I think it was Polynesian was $29 a night, and then the Contemporary was $39 or somewhere in that ballpark.
I think you'd have to go back to the episode we did where we interviewed.
Right.
To really get that, but maybe we have to put that one in the show notes.
Well, according to this, some research I looked through, $29 was typical for the Polynesian, and in that $30 to $40 range for the Contemporary, it was considered the flagship in the early days. So it was a little bit more pricey, but I think now that's flipped between those two. The Polynesian is definitely more
over expensive. Time, probably became more expensive.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's just based on demand, though, more or less.
Yeah. So if you adjust that for inflation, from 1971, 1972, all the way to 2025, that price only jumps to $296. So between somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 to $300.
Between which years?
72, let's just say 1972, and 2025, adjusted for inflation, the price per night would be around $220 on the low end to $300 on the high end. And 2025 rack rates are, and this is kind of combining the Contemporary and Polynesian, $750 on the low end, $900 on the high end. Yeah.
Exactly. Per night, folks.
So that's roughly 3 to 4 times the inflation from the 1972 price.
Now let me ask you, having stayed at both resorts,
yeah,
in that time period, would you say there has been $500 to $600 worth of improvements done to those resorts? Per night, that is. $500 to $600 per night improvements done to those resorts. Size of room, everything else.
No, because basically the size of the room hasn't changed.
Right. They've made more use of the space in some places,
Sure. Right, which I think they've done a good job of that, like have more storage and whatnot. But
yeah,
overall,
it's just like the older value hotels or even moderates in some cases. I mean, there's only so much they can do with the space, but they've made better use of it with, you know, things like places to put the luggage under the bed and things like that. Little architectural tricks here and there to get the most out of the space.
Yeah.
Some of those rooms at Poly, the expansion side at least, those rooms got bigger than the original ones.
Right.
When I say expansion side, I mean like
the newer longhouses, yeah.
The newer longhouses were Taki Lao, Pago Pago, and what's the other one? I want to say Tahiti, but I don't think it's called Tahiti currently, or is it called Tahiti now? The one that's along the beach.
Hawaii's the, well, wait, that one's
not that. No, that's the main building, but I'm talking about, or the main one on the beach, that's an older building, but I meant the one that's to the right or to the east, I guess, the most east one. That's still touching the beach, but it was called a couple of different things. I just can't remember what it's currently called.
Moorea.
Oh, that one is Moorea. Yes, that's right. That's what it currently is Moorea. Yeah. They've changed the names up like 3 times, maybe 4 times now.
Yeah.
Pago Pago is actually the original name of that building. It was called Rapa Nui for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember that. Anyway, that was going to look at contemporary 2025 rates. Then again, rack rate, value season. We're looking at around $600 a night. And this is Garden Wing, which is going to be the cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So the cheapest tower. Room, right? Cheapest room in contemporary would be that. It's about $600 rack rate.
I can't, you know, it just doesn't seem that long ago you were paying sub 300 for those rooms.
I know, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And Polynesian value, the cheapest room is a, you know, resort view standard room. And the cheapest I see is about $738, and that's the 2025 rate. So about almost a little more than $100 than the contemporary per night. So that's definitely contemporary is much better value. I've never stayed Garden Wing at contemporary, but I've thought about it many times.
I haven't either, and I think I may have missed my chance.
I don't know.
Because of the price range.
Well, I think the discounted rates, you can probably get it for sub 500 if you are quick on the draw.
Right.
But that's probably the only sub 500 room you can get on the monorail these days is a Garden Wing Contemporary.
Well, you might could find some good deals if you're going to like rent points from somebody, since these all have some DVC.
Yeah.
You definitely do better renting points from somebody from a site.
Yeah. Speaking of points, or not even points, but it was, I remember 2010 staying at Bay Lake Tower, like 6 months after it opened, or maybe 8 months, whatever it was after it opened. It was $330 a night, and that was a discounted rate, but it was $330.
But that was also like a two bedroom or one bedroom, wasn't it?
It was a one bedroom. One bedroom.
So that wasn't even the studio.
Right. So one bedroom was $330 back in 2010. So 15 years ago. It's not that long ago, but crazy. Okay. So I looked up 1975. So I did, since it's 2025, I went ahead and just did 75, 85, 95, 2005, 2015.
Okay. Every 10 years, we'll see how badly it's inflated.
So it actually went up quite a bit. In 1975. So it said a basically theme park view tower room in 1975 was $65 a night. But the cheaper rooms in the Garden Wing were about $45 to $50 a night.
So it wasn't a big disparity.
Right.
Is what it was then.
Right. So it was a little more. But even still adjusted for inflation, we're talking like $300, maybe pushing $350 adjusted for inflation, depending on, you know, the room, which, you know, we're talking. Which means
they're double inflation.
Right. At least.
At least.
Right, twice. Yeah. I was trying to find real quick the 75.
And in some cases, three times. There's a tower room, because a tower room would be like nine, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The tower room, I'm going to look really quick, 2025 rack rate for the tower in this, the Bay Lake side, cheapest value season is like $850
per night.
And that's not even theme park view. Theme park view, you're looking about $932 a night. So that's theme park view. Wow. $65 theme park view in 1975 and adjusted for inflation is about $380 a night. So that's just
insane.
Yeah, a lot. Insane. Jumping up to 1985, we basically still have just Polynesian Contemporary at that point still. But we're talking, Garden View was only $55 a night, so the 10 years, it only jumped about $10.
I mean, this was when?
Well, wait. Okay, that's 1980. Sorry, 1985. It was $90 a night
at
Contemporary
for Tower.
That was standard room. I think Garden View, Garden Wing. I mean,
does it say what Tower was? Because that's what we stayed in 1985. Well, you weren't around, but
I'm looking. It doesn't say specifically if it was Tower or not.
Okay.
Well, it says in 1980.
Still, in that time period, the main reason why we had the Contemporary at the time was because Polynesian was booked for the time frame.
Right.
So we still got it for like $100 a night.
Yeah. Five years later, it was $75. So in 1980, it was $75 for a theme park view. But it doesn't say specifically in 1985, although...
I was going to say, and what was a two-park park hopper in 1985?
Yeah, finally found it.
On top of that, just to get an idea of what the package would cost for like a five-nighter.
Like less than $1,000, I'm sure, for everything.
Oh, yeah.
For a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
So 1987, again, I guess it couldn't find exact years. It says Polynesians was around $120 a night.
Okay. In 87.
And then it shows that's about $320 in today's, which again, they're around $800 standard room today. That's about the minimum. So 2 to 3 times higher than inflation again.
So when Caribbean Beach opened, it was about half the price of Polynesian.
Yeah. So I said, let's jump to 95 and then now we're going to get some moderates and some other deluxes involved here. This is kind of the first that a lot of that happened within that decade between 85 and 95. But in 95, you could get Grand Floridian, Polynesian, and Contemporary. But Grand Floridian was around $180 a night in 1995. That was the minimum, somewhere around $250 for like a theme park view. Polynesian was around $200 a night, it says. That was kind of the average. And that's still only around $400 in today's dollars adjusted for inflation. And so, it's double again.
At least so twice as much.
Exactly. So, yeah. Seems to be pretty consistent that it's twice as...
between 2 to 3 times as much. Let's just be in between that. Like 2.5 times as much, we'll say.
Yeah. So, moving to the moderates, we've got Port Orleans, Caribbean Beach. They're roughly $85 to $110 a night in 1995. And it says...
Surprised we didn't go there more.
Yeah. One source notes that Port Orleans was 99. Well, it's because your mom loved Polynesian so much, right?
We were exactly. Just
always going to do that. Yeah. Yeah, Port Orleans, $99 a night. And it says that would be about $200 today. So inflation looks to be about double what it was about 30 years ago.
Right.
So whatever it was, double it.
Right.
For today's, right?
And didn't when the All-Star Sports and movies and all them debut, wasn't there like $59 a night or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. We're getting there. So the rack rate for moderates today is around $300 to $330 a night. So it's $130 more, $100 to $130 more.
Okay.
About 60% higher than inflation. For mods. So for values in 1994, 95, yes, the All-Star Sports and Music were $60 to $80 a night, depending on the room and the season. 60 was cheaper. And adjusted for inflation, that's $120 to $160 a night. So in 2025, the All-Stars generally run around $150 to $200 a night. So it's not that bad. It's a little bit more than inflation, but not much.
Right.
So the best value is the values.
No surprise there.
Yeah. So the value resort has stayed relatively stable in terms of inflation, roughly 165 adjusted for inflation in 1994, and it's 192. Yeah, that's kind of the average today. So about a $30 difference.
I think the ones that have probably stayed the closest in their price for the longest term here lately is probably going to be the mods, if I had to put in recent times, is what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like the mods 10 years ago is probably not going to be too far off from what they are now.
Yeah. You think the mods will kind of stay stable?
I think the mods from 10 years ago are very similar to what they are now.
Okay. Well, let's take a look.
It's obviously they're increased some, but I think they probably increased the least in the last decade.
Okay.
I feel like the values, I feel like partially because of Skyliner, but yeah. I feel like Pop has probably increased us significantly in the last decade.
All right. Well, we're up to 2005 now. Coronado Springs had opened in that decade between 95 and 2005. And in 2005, Coronado prices were roughly 140 to 170 a night.
Okay.
So that's adjusted today would be 220 to 270. Today, they're around 300 to 350.
For a standard?
Yeah, well, I think it's a standard room. But okay. I think, the tower rooms are at least 300 to 350. That's on the low side. So maybe, let's see. Yeah, it says about 30% higher than inflation. But
okay.
It says Port Orleans Riverside was about 145 a night in 2005, which is 235 today. But in 2025, the room rates are at least 300. This is, again, rack rate. You can get discounts frequently that'll dip the prices lower, but
right.
We're talking undiscounted rates. Okay, the value resorts were around $80 to $100 a night rack rate. So about 120 to 155 in today's dollars. So not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
The standard Pop Century room average roughly 120 to 210. So the value has risen above inflation, but it's definitely closer than other categories. So in 2005, the Contemporary or Beach Club was roughly 250 to 350 a night. And the Polynesian was around 250. No, sorry, 3 to 350. Sorry, in dollars that's like 400 to 550. But again, they're charging 700 or 800. So still about the same, 1.5 to 2 times inflation. So moving up to 2015, 10 years ago. Grand Floridian Polynesian are roughly 450 to 600 a night, depending on the season. And that's around 6 to 750 adjusted for inflation. But they're charging 8 to 900 for those rooms today. So 15 to 30% higher than inflation. Mods in 2015 were 180 to 220 a night. Adjusted for inflation, that's roughly 240 to 290. So, and then they're charging like 320 for the mods. So it's 10 to 30% higher than inflation 10 years ago. Is that about what you expected?
Maybe close to it. For some reason, I guess I thought they weren't as bad as it seems, but.
Well, it's still lower than the deluxe, which is, although.
Ridiculous.
Not by much. I
was gonna say, because I remember circa 2015 getting the yacht club for less than three. I know that a night, but that was also on a special rate.
Yeah, I kind of discounted rate for yacht club in 2017 for it was like 320 maybe or 330, something like that.
Uh huh.
It was probably the lowest.
But yeah, yacht club was nice.
Yeah. Let's see, though. The values in 2015, 10 years ago, were about 110 to 130 a night. Adjusted for inflation, that's 150 to 175. But the current rack rates are around 180 to 210. So still above, but not terribly above.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So it says here the 2010 saw continued price hikes beyond inflation, though external economic factors complicated the picture. By 2015, Disney's hotel rates were already high, very high in absolute terms, and they have only increased since then. So yeah, across the board, rack rates for hotel rooms are generally higher than historical rates would be if they were just adjusted for inflation.
Except for one thing.
But
whenever things go up in Disney, they don't go down again.
Right.
So
yeah, what would it would be like a giant recession or something would be the only way it might ever come down.
Yeah.
I don't know what would
the
happen.
The only thing you can hope for with them is that they keep the rates the same a little longer. But it seems as though they get changed every single year now. So
yeah, they kind of go up some, at least a little every year. Wow.
Seems that way.
Yep. I think the biggest price jump, though, is from the 1972 rates. It's just expanded over time.
You mean it's inflated?
Think about paying $30 a night, which would have been about $220 adjusted for inflation. That would be the price you'd pay for value, basically. Or maybe moderate. You might could get a moderate room that cheap if you're lucky on a discount. But
yeah, could you imagine being able to take some of today's money and get in a time machine? No.
Yeah, tell me about it. Good Lord.
I mean, you wouldn't have some of the amenities, but still, pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go back to the Poly and actually have an ashtray in the room or something, you know.
Color TV.
Big, beautiful 13-inch black and white.
Exactly. Wow. So, yeah, as we all suspected, the hotel rates are way above inflation, but the value resorts are the closest. The moderates are, so the deluxes have gone 3 to 4 times over the years higher than inflation.
I think part of that is because even Disney is like having trouble charging too much for, let's face it, the value resorts, especially if you're talking about the sports, movies, and music, like a, what would you call it? Like a well-themed Motel 6.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, even Disney can't charge too much for that.
Right.
So,
and the rooms are very tiny. Yes, I mean,
yeah,
there's really not much.
I mean, not even the layouts can remind you of something like that, like that type of motel totally. That I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, it's very much that way. It's just the parking lot's a little further away from the rooms in most cases. That's in some cases not, but. Than an actual motel, but yeah. But I like the value rooms, even though they're tiny.
But the reason why is if there was no theming whatsoever, you would think these were way overpriced rooms.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, if I was anywhere else, I would think it's ridiculous to pay like $200 for a shoebox that you're sleeping in. But
there you go. So the theming is the main thing you're paying for.
Right.
And a little bit of the transportation, I guess, even though you wouldn't use it there. That's the thing. You would use just as much as if you'd stayed outside the gates for less.
Pretty much. I mean, it just, depending on. But you get the perk of the early entry, which we never use except.
So, yeah, you get that 30 minutes. That's definitely, that's hard to beat there.
Yeah.
Technically about 15 minutes, really, if you think about it, because they let people in. So far, at least, to a certain point, they let them in earlier, right, over the regular time.
Right.
They let them go to a certain rope drop or rope point or something like that. Right. So,
we actually did make it to early entry at Hollywood Studios, but we wanted a rope drop Rock and Roller Coaster. And at first, the cast members were like halfway down Sunset. If you had to scan in before you could get past that point. But by the time we finished Rock and Roller Coaster and came back, they had them at the entrance to the Rock and Roller Coaster area. They had everybody held there. Yeah, it was, they moved it back as it got closer. And then I guess when 9 a.m. hit, they let everybody who was waiting there in, who wasn't a resort guest, but.
Yeah, so you just kind of got a crack at trying to do one, maybe two attractions.
Yeah, depending on
with a slightly lower weight.
Right. If you pick Rise or if you pick Slinky Dog, then you're going to use the entire 30 minutes on that, most likely.
Yeah. Well, it's Slinky Dog just because that's where most people are going to go. But with Rise, it's because, I mean, like the ride itself is like 15 minutes. You know,
I think it's more like 20 if you count. Okay. If you count
everything, all the pre-shows and everything, you're like a half-hour ride.
Yeah.
So when you're out of there, so once you're done with just the ride, when you're out of there, the early entry's over.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you got to be the first person in line.
Right.
Alrighty.
Well, I think we've definitely proven that point. Way above what it should be. But where can we be found out there for more info and stuff?
Well, of course, we have Facebook, we have X, we have Instagram. They're all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store where you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel where you can find the episodes for Traveling with a Mouse, as well as other videos. And what else can you find there, Adam?
Yes, it's on our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. There's links to all those things and more there. So for John, my name is Adam, and this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Don't forget TeePublic.
Oh, I thought you said that.
Not inside TeePublic this time.
Well, there's links and to that too on the
Team
website.
Skyliner shirt that you can go get.
Or monorail. Don't forget that. Because that's the one you should be getting.
The monorail is the OG.
And the rafts were a ride shirt.